Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Saturday episode, the number for you to join us is 603-283-6160. We're talking about ending war, ending the U.S. military empire around the planet. That is one of the demands that is being made by an upcoming protest. It's going to be happening in about 2 weeks. I'm guessing that's a Sunday. Yeah, the 19th is a Sunday in Washington, D.C. It's called Rage Against the War Machine at rageagainstwar.com. We've been going through their list of 10 demands, and we're going to continue that. With you in the studio tonight, though, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
Before we do, though, we're going to the phones here and talking to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
I want to bring the speed, lead and coal. There was a big wreck on coal, and they're always speeding. So they actually knocked a side of an apartment complex. They look like it's demolished, like whole side of the bedroom. So and they this is a one way, and they think that it's a freeway just because it's two street lanes going one way, and. So they've done this before. They knocked out houses, walls on these streets before. And are you with me? And this is
we're right here. You're going to tell me that cameras are going to solve this problem?
Well, because they go out there and saw it off in broad daylight. I don't know how that's going to help either.
They sawed off the cameras in broad daylight?
Yeah, well, somebody filmed it.
That's
had
pretty
a camera
awesome.
On the lead and coal. Speeding cameras and
wait. So did Sarah do this? No, she supports the cameras.
Oh.
No, she's saying some people sawed off the cameras, which is awesome.
Yeah, they went out there with a hacksaw.
Cool,
ballsy.
Yeah,
how do you know? Did you go out and see?
Can I donate to these guys?
Well, you know what? I was listening to the call-in show, the local KKOB, and then she said I saw a guy sawing off a camera. She called in.
That's like Cool Hand Luke level stuff,
right?
All right, so Sarah, what do you think about war? Do you think we should end the war mongering and the occupation of the dozens, if not hundreds, of countries around the world?
Or do you like war?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, and then I have a thing about Taiwan Tibet. That it always belonged to China. I have no idea what they're talking about. They want to be independent. That's completely absurd. Like Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Tibet
the communists?
Always belong to China.
why can't people be independent if they want to?
Well, it's like you guys saying that you're going to be independent.
I already am independent.
So I mean, it's part of like colonization. It's like trying to take over somebody's property. Taking over China's property by doing that, and so no wonder.
Wow, that is some mental gymnastics right there. So by getting free of a government, I am stealing what is rightfully theirs.
Well, the thing is that it's like if somebody moving into your backyard and picking a pit and said, that's my property. It's kind of like the same thing. That's how China feels when Tibet.
China doesn't have feelings. China's a nation state. It is a concept.
That's too complicated to think about, Ian.
It doesn't have feelings. The people of Taiwan have feelings. Those people there who were born there, who go back for generations there, have feelings about being dominated by the Chinese government people. And
I'm sorry, Ian, I can't talk about this right now because China's sad.
But Sarah, did you say you're against war or you're for it? Because I'm not really clear.
Well, I am against war, and I think that United States are the aggressors. You know how they always say that everybody else is a terrorist?
Mm-hmm.
But I've known that U.S. government and the military, they're the real terrorists.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Why can't you say the same thing about the Chinese government?
Well, because as far as I know, they're terrorizing China by doing that.
You didn't answer my question.
Territory.
Why? If you, I agree with you that the U.S. government are terrorists, and the U.S. military is engaging in terroristic activity all around the planet. Why can't you see that that is also true of Chinese government military when it comes to Taiwan?
Well, I don't buy that. There's a couple of people, like the maybe capitalists, that want to join the capitalist system. I think most of the people want to belong to China. I think it's all propaganda.
So it's okay if the Chinese military uses bombs and tanks to force the people of Taiwan into their system. That's not war to you. Because you said you were anti-war just a few moments ago.
Right, I'm anti-war. But that's, to me, that's invading China. You know what I mean? It's just a couple of people.
Who's invading China?
The U.S. capitalist government that wants to side with the Taiwanese.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the question of should Taiwan be free to do what they want. Ignore the fact that the U.S. government has an opinion about that particular situation. We're just looking at the people of Taiwan and the people of China and the government people of those areas and the Taiwanese people if they want to do their own thing. Similar with Hong Kong. If Hong Kong wants to do their own thing. The people of Hong Kong want to do their own thing. You're saying it's okay for the Chinese government to use bombs and tanks to stop them?
Well, I mean, I think that's the way it works. It's like all the
you're okay with it.
You
though.
Guys want to break away.
You're okay with
that. Doesn't mean that you're gonna get what you want. Just
you're okay with it though.
I
just want to be clear. You're fine with that. You think that's a good solution?
Well, yeah, I do think.
Okay,
so.
You're not anti-war. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's how you look at it.
No, it's not how you look at it. If you're against war, you are against the use of bombs and military people and guns and shooting and, you know, explosions and sabotage and, you know, all of the things that these people do to use violence and force to force people into their way of doing things. You are against that if you are anti-war. You, madam, are not anti-war. You're only anti the government of the United States wars. You're fine with the Chinese wars. How about the Chinese rounding up the Uyghurs and throwing them into re-education camps?
And taking their organs and selling them on the black market.
Yeah, supposedly doing that too, yeah.
I don't know about all that.
You don't know about it? Well, why don't you look it up now that you have internet at your house for the first time ever? Why don't you look it up?
You know what? I don't really believe that. It could be like a blown up propaganda. But what I
you
know
don't believe
is
it. They talk to actual human beings who have had their families, family members stolen from them. They've talked to some of them who managed to escape,
who've had their organs removed,
who've been released from these camps over time. And there are, I don't know if it's hundreds of thousands or whatever, but there's been a lot of people that have been locked up in these camps.
But overall, you know, to me, the way that I look at it, it looks like that China is being aggressive. I just think that the war is necessary to defend their territory, to keep
then
the
stop calling yourself anti-war.
United.
You can have that opinion. Just stop calling yourself anti-war. You That's are not true. Anti-war. Thank you for the call tonight. We continue here. Jamie's on the line in Alabama. You're on Free Talk Live, Jamie.
Hey, yeah, well, you were discussing with Sarah. I'm literally against war.
All right, good.
Nice.
Yeah, of all kinds, because although it gave us freedom, but people killing people and all this crap, it's no. That's enough of that already.
Yeah, I heard you. I mean, did it give us freedom? Are you referring to the Revolutionary War when you say that? Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard to argue that that there was some other way around that. I do understand the argument there that essentially those chains had to be thrown off somehow. And I don't blame them for doing that. I mean, I do want to find a peaceful solution to everything. I think that is generally the way to go. But when there's men with guns around blowing your family away, you got to do something. You got to act in that moment.
And if only they had been consistent and principled enough to let people pull away from them when they wanted to.
Indeed. Jamie, was there anything else you wanted to share tonight?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me way back when Hitler was doing all that bad stuff to the Jewish people.
What reminds you of that?
Well, I heard a Christian thing on a radio. It was telling the Jewish people was telling the survivor Jews were telling the stories about what happened at the camp and all that stuff. You know, they surrounded their little hospital and everything, killing off every Jewish families and all that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what was it that reminded you of that? I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on what you were saying reminded you of what happened with the Nazis.
Yeah, you're talking about what China's doing with the Uyghurs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Killing off the Uyghur, the weak link.
Gotcha. Jamie, thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Peoples Mountain Air, you've been sharing with us the Rage Against War, or the Rage Against the War Machine, which is a protest happening in Washington, D.C. on the 19th. So coming up in just over 2 weeks, Ron Paul will be speaking there. And a bunch of other people, Tulsi Gabbard and many more. You can go to RageAgainstWar.com to see more details on the event, including their demands, the list of demands that we've been going through here so far. We've hit the list. There's 10 of them. We've gone through the first 8. Not one more penny for the war in Ukraine. 2, negotiate peace. Stop. Number 3, stop the war inflation. 4, disband NATO. 5, global nuclear de-escalation. 6, slash the Pentagon budget by half. 7, abolish the CIA and military-industrial deep state. Number 8, abolish war and empire. All
okay.
out.
Yes.
Right. And number 9.
Well, hold on. Before we step yes. into that, I wanted to make another couple of notes on...
Sure.
It's really nice to see these paired together. So to end the NATO and to end the empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they recognize the connection between war and empire here. Because, like, one of the things that's happened in the modern world is, okay, you can no longer get away with colonizing in the way that used to be done, you know, with strong-arm colonization, as it were. But what you can get away with is colonization through debt. And there was a really good article in Bitcoin Magazine by Alex Gladstein about the way that the IMF and World Bank would make these loans to these countries in exchange for making changes in the way that their country operates.
Yeah.
That just it just turns them into
slave states.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the one hand,
and that's been going on for decades.
Oh yeah, yeah, and exactly, and that is modern empire, and that is what NATO is doing to countries around the world: is empire and colonization, not through arms, but through subtler means of debt. Because on the one hand, okay, now that you're in debt, like people think that giving loans to countries is a nice thing to do to them, and it really isn't.
No.
Because I mean, especially when you're printing them up out of nowhere. But
I mean, who has ever been in debt could believe that loans are a good thing? I mean,
right.
You become owned by right. those people.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if I can just print up a loan out of nowhere and like, mm-hmm. okay, here's a loan for you to buy that car. And now I have this nice steady monthly income from you. Like, oh, what a great favor I've done for you
That came out of thin air.
Right.
And you get to take the car back if
right.
the default happens.
Exactly. Right. Like, hey, free car, free monthly income from you. And they do what's called structural adjustment, which means you have to completely change the way that your nation operates to just make you this way of extracting resources.
Yeah. I just want to be clear for our listeners that when a bank loans you money, they're not loaning you money which they already possess.
Correct.
They're loaning you money which they create out of thin air. I know it sounds ridiculous.
True.
I know it sounds preposterous. I know
actually
it sounds
how it works.
Like this can't possibly be. But no, it's true. Look it up. It is how it works.
It's called
every
fractional
loan,
reserve
every
banking.
Bank, every time.
Let's go to your phone calls here. We got somebody else on the line. What is your name? You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Hello. Caller. Going once. Caller on the line. Going twice. Let's continue here. We actually have, I believe, Jerome is with us here from South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, is Rupert Murdoch senile? I don't know. I know he's like in what, 70s.
I've never met him. I couldn't tell you.
Well, I've never met Biden, but I can tell you he's senile.
I've never even seen Rupert Murdoch speak before. I mean, I know he's like the Fox News guy or whatever. He owns Fox.
The only thing I have to say about Rupert Murdoch is what a name. Right? Who the heck is named Rupert Murdoch?
Some rich guy. Yeah, that's
you
who.
Know, like,
what about him, Jerome? Why are you calling about him?
Well, he's going to pay Tom Brady $375 million just to talk about football, you know. And
what?
Then I just watched, I saw something else where his ex-wife, Jerry Hall, he was mad at her for like about 5 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, this Mick isn't Jagger, Sports Center, Jerome.
Huh? Well, what's he hiring Mick Tom Jagger, Brady to do exactly? He's going to be a TV host or something?
About football as a football analyst. You didn't
hear
about that?
No, dude, I don't pay any attention to sports.
Well,
I know,
so the thing is, though, you have to understand exactly how beloved Tom Brady is. Mm. There are people who build
275 million.
All right. Well, look, I mean, it's I just looked it up. It's a 10-year deal, so it's 37.5 million per year, which is still, you know, that's still a lot, but it's not as big as you thought it was.
But like,
right?
I mean, going out and hiring somebody with vast experience in the subject in which they want this guy to talk about, it'd be like hiring Michael Jordan to talk about basketball. Like,
hey,
of course you're going to do that.
Family?
What?
Did you grow up in a rich
no,
family?
I did not.
No, I
so
was
why don't
dirt
you
poor.
Think $375 million is a lot of money?
It is a lot of money.
I'm saying it's not.
I just told you that it's a 10-year deal, so it's only $37.5 million, which is still a lot of money, but it's not out of the the realm of what they pay these people.
Let me explain to you what goes into the thinking on whether or not you hire someone for an enormous sum like this. So they do a calculation on how much they're going to get from having him, how much they're going to get from advertisers, from people watching Tom Brady. So they do their best guess on, like, okay, Tom Brady is a beloved figure. How many eyeballs are we going to get on this show because we have him as a speaker for it? And they make sure that that is more than they're giving him.
I'm still not buying it. Hey, by the way,
here's what you do. Jerome, before you go on, here's what you do. If you're not buying it, don't watch Fox.
Okay. Don't watch Tom Brady. You have the choice.
You got to do.
Turn off your TV.
Hey, not only that, he's paying Mick Jagger's ex-old lady, Jerry Hall, who he was married to for like about 5 minutes. I just looked up the divorce settlement.
Why does this have any meaning at all to you, Jerome?
$305 million.
These people have no effect on your life whatsoever.
I know that.
I didn't know this person existed until you just said it, and I still don't care.
Just as an example, according to NYPost.com, which I believe is Rupert Murdoch owned, it does point out here that ESPN apparently did purchase, or maybe it was Fox, they did pay for this other guy named Joe Buck, who I've never heard of before.
Oh, he's half of Buckman. That's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Buck was $33.5 million per year. So, like, $37 million up from $33 million, I mean, this is just, this is like an inflation adjustment, basically. I mean, this is, you know, this is par for the course for getting a big star to sit in front of a camera for 10 years, you know, the next 10 years of his life. This is a huge commitment.
Yeah, I mean, this is a celebrity. He gets paid millions of dollars. This can't be new to you, Jerome.
Well, I was listening to y'all talk about, you know, the influence that people have in this country and everything. Mm-hmm. And how ridiculous it is. Well, this is, like, ridiculous to me, okay? This is just, like, ridiculous. Because I don't think they're worth that kind of money. Okay. Just to talk about stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what you think. You're not running a television broadcast network.
Yeah. You're not televising these sports events.
They could hire you for a lot less, and you might be better at it. I don't know, but you don't have the name recognition.
Well, and something that might be going into their thinking on this is they are fighting for market share because people are tuning out of television left and right.
Oh, yeah.
But they do know that they've still got a pretty good draw when it comes to sports. So I think that they are fighting tooth and nail to try and hold on and claw back whatever they can of what used to be an unquestionable media empire. So the fact that they're paying him, you know, 10 times as much as they used to pay somebody is not that big a surprise when you think that, oh man, people love this guy. There are so many people who would never watch this SportsCenter. They would just watch it over here, or they wouldn't watch it at all. But they love this guy so much they're going to watch television again instead of going on the internet and watching it there, or just not watching at all.
Yeah, in fact,
they're not going to hire me. They're not going to hire me because I'm ugly. I'm not that good.
Face for radio.
There's a lot of reasons they're not going to hire you for that.
The fact is, a lot of these guys in sports didn't get hired for their looks. I mean, a lot of the guys in sports, they got hired for their athletic ability, right?
I mean, in fairness, I think that looks have a fair amount to do with how beloved Tom Brady is.
He may be the exception, but there's plenty of guys that got hired in sports because they're good athletes, and they get hired on these, John Madden, not a handsome man, okay?
Right.
But he was a host of the...
You're trying
to be John Madden. But he got hired because he knows the game, and he can talk, and it is, he was here for the job.
Jerome, I'll do a Madden impression for you. That Jerome, he is a caller, and this is a radio program.
True. I gotta say football somewhere in the sentence. Though.
But he got. By the way, it happened to be in the story here. They brought up Madden in the story from the New York Post. He was getting paid $8 million a year, but this was in the 1990s. That was three decades ago.
It's not chump change, Jerome.
$8 million in the 1990s was a lot of money.
Oh, I thought he said Trump change.
That's 30 years ago.
That works, too. Anyway, but I'm just wondering, when does, like, being able to play sports make you a damn genius? When did that start to happen?
It doesn't, especially getting knocked in the head as often as some of those guys do.
Yeah, it does. It does give you familiarity with the game, though.
But they know the game. Yeah. That's true.
Like, I wouldn't trust him. I sure as heck wouldn't trust him for, like, advice on investing in cryptocurrency.
Jerome, are you anti-war?
Oh, good question.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
I'm a
veteran.
That's awesome.
And I'm a veteran.
We agree. We agree with you on that one. In fact, we were just talking about the protest that's going to be going on up in D.C. on the 19th called Rage Against War. And thank you, Jerome, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I did want to add in, though, to the point you were making, People's Mountaineer. They are absolutely desperate to keep people's eyes on television. YouTube bid out DirecTV.
Yeah.
$2 billion a year for NFL Sunday Ticket.
Yeah. So Sunday Ticket used to be owned by, it was DirecTV. You could only get it via satellite. And for years, that has been a complaint of your viewers, because you could only get that particular subscription through satellite.
That's going to end in the next season, starting at the end of this year.
It's been like 25 years or something like that.
Yeah, and there was another one, too. I forget if it was Amazon. I think Amazon snatched up the Thursday games from NBC or something like that. So big changes are coming to NFL. More coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. China is expressing strong dissatisfaction and protest following the U.S. shooting down one of its spy balloons over U.S. waters on Saturday. In a statement released by CNN, China said it has repeatedly informed the U.S. that the balloon was for civilian use and entered the country accidentally. It was shot down near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. President Biden gave the okay to shoot the balloon on Wednesday. South Carolina moves to the front of the line for Democrats on their presidential primary calendar starting next year. Fire was burning from a train derailment that took place Friday night in Ohio. More than 50 cars were involved. No one was hurt. Actor Mark Hamill has signed Star Wars posters to help raise money for the Ukrainian military. Hamill, of course, is best known for playing Luke Skywalker. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. If you want to join the show, live Saturday edition, the number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian Pico's found here and Captain Kickass here in the studio. You can join us online anytime you want at freetalklive.com. We have a variety of features there. If you want to help me out a little bit, I have a sentencing coming up in April, about 2 months and change away from now. And there's going to be a judge who's going to be deciding whether or not I spend upwards of 20 years in prison for completely victimless crimes, so-called crimes that involve Bitcoin.
It's a bunch of horse crap.
Yeah, unfortunately, the jury believed the horse crap from the prosecution and convicted me on all eight counts.
The jury's dumb.
You can go to the Crypto6 site if you want to learn more about the case at thecrypto6.com. But if you would like to write a letter to the judge in this case, there's instructions on how to do that at letters.freetalklive.com. You can go there. It's not going to tell you what to write, but you know, just kind of give you the basics of you should talk a little bit about yourself and like, you know, why you, what your history is, and like what you, why you matter, that kind of thing. And then explain why you think that I have been helpful to you or to the community, and why you don't think I should go into a cage as a result of these convictions. So if you don't mind helping me out, the sooner you can get that letter over, the better. Time is of the essence. You can go to letters.freetalklive.com. As we go to your phone calls, we still have two more items on the Rage Against War, the Rage Against the War Machine site, which is rageagainstwar.com, their demands that they're making. We'll get to the remaining two here. But first, we have James in Maine. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I just want to call and say that I'm pro-war because the science is undisputed.
Okay, what does that mean?
The science? Are you talking about Fauci?
Yeah, so how can we live in a world where Vladimir Putin is allowed to have weapons of mass destruction and massacre innocent civilians in the oil fields of Libya with chemical weapons. That's absolutely just outrageous. With a non-IMF banking system.
Are you being facetious, or do you actually believe this?
Every study has proven this. Every peer-reviewed scientific study has proven this.
Okay, yeah, he's being facetious.
Proven what?
Has proven that we live
proven
in a world
science.
With an IMF banking system? I don't know why you'd need a study for that, but I'm sure they do show that.
Okay.
Peer-reviewed.
Well, it's a shame we didn't find someone who was really against war to call into the show. Good try, James.
I was like, is he a mercenary?
Yeah, appreciate it. He hung up, by the way. Yeah, he hung up the phone. It was a good try. I mean, he was clearly reading a script as well. He scripted that one out.
You know, he did his best.
Yeah.
And,
thank you for
and
trying.
He had us going for just
for a moment.
A second.
Yeah, yeah, for a moment.
Which, I mean, honestly, how are you going to make the argument for war at this point?
I don't know. It used to happen pretty often. Like, we're on broadcast radio. We used to have the warmongers calling in all the time, and it's like, the phones have been dead on this issue tonight.
Yeah.
And we're out. We're still on the air.
Yeah.
So, like, where are these people?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, in America, like, we have been very intimately aware of the fact that we are at war all over the place.
Mm-hmm. All
for the time.
Decades.
Yeah.
Even if it's unofficial.
And, gee, do you know a bunch of freedom that's shared to the Middle East?
No.
I don't know a bunch of freedom that's gotten shared with the Middle East.
Do you think Americans have finally gotten tired of all the lies and have actually figured out that the government lies them into war every time?
I really do. I think that right now people are struggling with the fact that they basically have to reverse their worldview. Because when it comes to politics, people do not want complex theories. They want who's the good guy, mm-hmm. who's the bad guy, which team am I on? That's what people want. And at this point, it's just gotten so difficult to believe that you are on the right side when you are standing with the United States federal government.
Well, and I think the advent of the internet, of course, helps information move, right? Even
yes.
with as restricted as it is in some countries and all that kind of thing, there's, you know, all sorts of technological ways around internet censorship by
Tor.
Governments and
the
VPNs and
the
all
Onion
that kind
router,
of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of that. And so I firmly believe that not just in the United States, I firmly believe that the world is discovering. It's going through this period of cognitive dissonance. Right, where it's discovering that, yes, the things that we already know, the organization known as government is evil. It's based on coercion, and therefore it can be nothing but corrupt, because it's based on a corrupt premise.
Sure.
Right, and so I think that the world is slowly waking up to these things.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from personal experience that I was caught in the fog of statism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could probably be considered previously somewhat of a constitutionalist.
Okay.
Right, my knee-jerk reaction, well, what does the document say, right? And
right.
He
founding fathers.
Founding fathers, documents, you know, kind of. And yeah. That was because I was brought up in religious households who always pointed at the book.
The document.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the book.
Yeah.
What does the book say? Oh,
right.
It says here in John 5, chapter 14, that blah, blah. Right? So that was my knee-jerk reaction. Now, coming out of the fog of statism into the realization that government is not only unnecessary, but it's immoral.
Yeah.
Right? It creates all of the largest evil in the world. All of it. The largest evils in the world, the largest murderer, the largest theft.
Yeah, it's counterproductive.
Is all done by government.
The largest pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of the bad things. The number one committer of the bad thing is always government. Right? So once you realize that the organization type of government is evil, that does something to like your base as a person, something you've believed all your life. I equate it to the adult version of being told that Santa Claus is not real.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have a physical and mental reaction to this realization. This is an awakening, if you will, that is unlike anything most adults are prepared to handle.
That's right, yeah. Cognitive dissonance.
And so there's this, and I believe that the world right now is in this sort of period where it's beginning to realize this stuff, but it's in this, like, it's kind of fighting back a little bit. It's like, it doesn't want to wake up.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Oh, that's really horrible. Can't I just go back to the way it was, right?
Yeah, and two of the things that I think is really helping this along, number one, like, systematically, they are showing that the government does not do what people believe it does.
Right.
Like,
it does the opposite in a lot
right.
of cases.
Right. They believe that their police are keeping the peace and keeping them safe. And story after story about police murdering people just keeps mm-hmm. coming through. They believe that the military is what's keeping them safe from invaders.
It is not.
And story after story about how it's not doing that. It's doing the exact opposite. People believe that government is distributing justice, and it may not be a perfect system, but it's the best that they're... And then they're actually seeing what happens in court, and it's like, oh my God, this is terrible. And the other thing, so like on the one hand, systematically disillusioning what people believe are the essential functions that it is performing, and number two, they are seeing over and over and over again that it is covering things up. That the government itself is suppressing information and suppressing information. That it's suppressing the COVID information. Mm-hmm. That it's suppressing Julian Assange. That it's suppressing just one thing after another. And that's the thing. If you are suppressing information, then you're guilty.
Now, there is a real fear that I'm sure is felt by most people when they start thinking about this kind of a thing. I think I was watching, I was actually on a job. Right, so I was watching, I think, Loose Change or one of these documentaries about, you know, that was sort of freedom-oriented and educating me on, you know, sort of what government is and how it's going about doing the things that it does. And so I was literally, like, sort of, you know, violating the contract of my job and doing this. And I remember watching this thing and just looking, you know, turning my head behind me, making sure nobody was watching and thinking like, oh my gosh, I wonder if the feds have watched me watch this on my computer and that kind of a thing. There was a little bit of
a little paranoia.
A little paranoia. But like, this is because government, everybody already knows that government has all the guns. They have all of the surveillance, right? This isn't new news. This is old news. And the longer it goes on, the more of this they get, the more surveillance they get, the more technology they get. The old former Soviet Russia, right, would just like be so jealous of the amount of surveillance that just the United States government has over their people, much less the amount of socialism it has created. So it has gone in the opposite direction of freedom. And so people have this very real fear that's been ingrained in them since they went to public school, since they turned on the television, that you should be afraid of government. When those red and blue lights go on behind you and the cop is going to pull you over, what do you feel?
Oh, thank goodness.
No, you don't feel that at all. When you see a bunch of military people walking in formation down your street in your neighborhood, what do you feel? Do you feel like, oh, thank God they're here? No, you're like, oh, something must be going on. Oh, my gosh, should I flee? Should I run? Mm-hmm. What should I do? You start having these sort of panic moments. And so that's what the world is going to have to deal with on an individual basis. Each individual is going to have to come through this process of waking up to the evil that is statism.
But will they?
I have hope.
I appreciate that.
So that's the thing. Look, one of two things is going to end this. Either we're going to launch enough nukes that we're all gone, or we're going to get over the idea that we have to systematize our violations. And realize that we just have to stop violating the rules.
I think that the answer to your question that you asked is yes. And I say that because the world has already gone through it for another topic, and that is the topic of overt slavery. Right? The world has come to the conclusion all around the globe that taking 100% of the life effort of another human being is wrong. And it took a long time, took 100 years or something for planet Earth to sort of come through that as a people. Now, hopefully it won't take as long for people to come through that when it comes to statism, because we do have
the information.
The information superhighway, right? We have the power of information spreading quickly. So hopefully,
and it can happen quickly, as we've seen with the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fall of the Soviet Union and so on.
And hopefully, because we have come through as human beings, come through something similar to that, it can happen again.
Yeah. And one of the things that we have that has never been done before is absolute proof of something that we believe governments have to be performing getting done better without government, and that's Bitcoin. So people believe that a government must be responsible for the currency in order for it to exist, in order for there to be any kind of trade and stability in any of that. and we are seeing without a doubt that, okay, look, this thing's here. It's valuable. People are trading for it. It's not going anywhere.
Yep, and it's
and
global.
No government's involved at all.
Let's go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. What is your name? You're on Free Talk Live. Caller, going once.
Yes, hi. This is Shag.
Shag, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, just wanted to bring awareness to an anti-war protest, specifically the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Taking place January 19th. Or February 19th in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a coalition of progressives and libertarians coming together to protest the terrible war and to advocate for the cessation of funding for it.
We're just teasing you, man. We're just teasing you. We've already been covering it here for like 2 hours.
I was hoping you'd let it go on. No, I really want to hear like what you know what is important to people that are hearing about this.
Yeah, how'd you find out about it?
How did I find out about it? I think it was. I can't remember to be honest.
Are you a libertarian?
But I listen. Yes. Okay. Yes. I listen to you guys almost every single day. And I almost started this conversation saying, you might have already covered it tonight, but. I'm glad you have been talking about it because I think this is the most important thing we're facing as a human race right now. So.
And since you bring it up, look, if this is something that people care about, but they can't really go themselves, I want to point out that if you go to the website, rageagainstwar.com, you can also donate to it.
Oh, okay, great. We were actually going through their list of demands and everything. Are you planning on attending this or just want to get the word out?
I'm thinking I'm going to be able to, yeah. Okay.
We just lost what you just said there. You said you might try to what?
Yeah, I was just saying I might try to see if other folks need a ride, too.
I'm sure they do.
In Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. You're still in Massachusetts. Enemy territory. I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. I've been trying to get up there for 14 years, but, you know, life, yeah.
14 years? It's not that far. It's like a half hour away or something.
No, I just mean move up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
So what's it going to take? What's holding you back? Is it like family stuff or job or what?
Yeah, it was family stuff for the past few years, financially mainly at this point. And, there is a part of me that's a little afraid because of all the federal attention on the whole thing. So, that's an element. But
there's the fear I was just talking about, right? Everybody has it. They have this embedded fear of government and what's going to happen. You know, that's why there's a whole bunch of liberty-oriented people who are like, well, as soon as New Hampshire secedes, then I'm going to move.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for me, it's really, most importantly, I'd like to be around people who, you know, understand non-aggression principle, understand, you know, human relations the way that you all seem to. So
it's amazing, man. It really is. Because, like, when you're just about anywhere else, like, you're the only one who knows this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get here, you can bounce ideas off of people who think about things in a reasonable and principled way.
You don't have to explain yourself fundamentally at every conversation.
Yeah, and
then you can develop ideas. Because, like, there's just a cutoff point where you can't develop it past that with people who can't get to that point. And I'd like to point out to you, man, it's driving distance to where you're at. So if you need to get back down to your family, or if you finally get, you know, too scared of the federal government, I mean, you can just drive back down.
I just want to ask you if you're going to make it to Porkfest.
Yeah, definitely. Been in the past few years. So.
Oh, okay, great.
Sweet. Come and visit us.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Yeah, I'd love to.
If you do make it down to this protest, feel free to give us a call and give us a report from on the ground, all right?
Okay, we'll do for sure. And again, I'm sorry. I didn't listen tonight.
How dare you? Hey, you know, it's not a requirement that you have to listen to call in, but we definitely appreciate you calling, man. Thank you for sharing that tonight.
Well, we believe that people who don't listen to us should all be put in jail. That's what we're about here.
Let's continue here. Another caller, you're on the air. What's your name, caller? Hello?
David calling from Kansas.
Hey, David, you're on. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I love how you guys had mentioned just not too long ago about, you know, we fundamentally believe that, you know, you can no longer take 100% of someone's life, you know, economically. Mm-hmm. When, how much can they take?
Well,
how much can someone take before it becomes wrong? Because right now I feel
amount.
Like that the federal government takes 40%
yeah.
of my economic well-being.
Yeah, that's still slavery. It's just a different form.
It's slavery light.
Exactly. Exactly. It is slavery. And when are people going to wake up? You know, I live here in Kansas, you know, which is a follow-the-rules state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how dare you talk against, you know, the institution that is the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution and, you know, all. I'm just like, dude. Do you people not listen to yourselves when you talk to other people?
Right.
And how we should act and treat other people? If they don't believe in what you believe, you honestly think that government should be the right answer? That's exactly what everything you don't believe in, the people that believe that you don't believe in, that's the same way they're acting.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I appreciate you guys and your optimism here, and I tend to be optimistic in the long view, and I do understand that, you know, renaissances can happen, and ideas in the world can shift in a very quick fashion. Look, for instance, at what happened with COVID. We saw a tremendous shift in the wrong direction with the COVID thing, and we're only 3 years outside of that at this, or, you know, outside, 3 years since the beginning, quote unquote, of that situation. And boy, that seemed like a huge setback. I mean, we are seeing, you know, some revelations coming out, some truths coming out. Pfizer has been exposed by Project Veritas and so on and so forth. But for the most part, people still believe what they're told by the government. They still will do exactly what they're told. And it is frustrating because we are surrounded by people like that, which is why this whole migration is so important. If we're going to spark the things that we're talking about happening, like you guys are saying that we're, you feel like we're on the people of the world are on this precipice. It's going to take a spark. Something's got to set that off. And I think that having a place on the planet that can actually show that freedom actually works is what a lot of people are going to need. They're not going to buy the ideas. They're not. It's too scary. It's too scary. Freedom's too scary.
And this is why I'm. I think that it's amazing that we're at where we're at with our first story about the Democratic Party pulling out of their first primaries, because they're going to leave a power vacuum, and I believe that power vacuum is going to get filled by the Libertarian Party. So this state will be dominated by the Libertarian Party and the Republican Party. So it's going to go back and forth between minarchism and anarchism for pretty much everything. And if you want to get anything passed, it's got to be a freeing bill, or it's just not going to get out of committee. So when they see that being done is when I think people are really going to go, hey, maybe this can work.
Go ahead.
Well, and that's why I think it's so important, you know, and this is where words matter, is where you talk about things like the non-aggression principle.
Yes.
You know, people sit there and talk about it, and they think that that libertarians, you know, when I tell people I'm a libertarian, they think I'm nuts. They think I'm some kind of long-haired, long-beard, living off the land anarchist. I'm just like,
You've been demonized.
I'm like, yeah, okay, but no, that's not the case. You know, the whole thing is I believe in something, and that something is the non-aggression principle.
So what is the non-aggression principle for our listeners that are just tuning in for the first time tonight? What is it?
Well, I explain it. This is how I explain it, is that decisions I make on some kind of action that I'm going to do, whether it be economically or anything, I have to decide, is that treading on somebody else? Am I causing someone else harm, either economically or on their rights as a free person?
So I got to ask, what are you doing in Kansas? I mean, if you're you sound like a pretty principled liberty guy, and you sound like you're frustrated by being surrounded by people that just do not understand you, why are you still there?
Wolverines, man. Wolverines.
A reference
to your sports team?
Yeah,
it all starts in the middle. It all starts in the middle. I'm in Kansas because this is where my family is.
Family.
I'm slowly turning them, but you know, I love Kansas. I want to start something here as well. I don't think that it needs to be in one place. I love what's happening with the Free State Project, but at the same time, this is my home. And so
is there anything that would persuade you to leave your home? I mean, is there any sort of change that could happen outside of Kansas, whether it be in New Hampshire or somewhere else, that would make you say, all right, well, it's been nice, but I'm leaving now?
No. Okay. And the reason being is because and the reason being is because of the agrarian nature that is Kansas. I feel secure. There's food security here. There's just a lot here.
Well, I mean, if agrarian food security is what you're looking for, I mean, there's some great things going on in Texas. I mean, it is more conservative than it is libertarian, but there is a lot of libertarianism that is growing in that state now.
That's right. And I do have friends that have moved to Texas. That would be a real possibility if I can get my family to go along with it, because I'm not leaving them behind.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, good luck. Thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. You know, it's by the way, there's a lot of people that are into local farming and things like that up here. In fact, I believe New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine are the top three states. I don't know in which order. I think it changes, but they are some of the top, if not top three states for what they call locavore, which is people that are purchasing and growing and buying and interested in products, plants and cows and things like that that are,
yeah, New Hampshire
are done
just
locally.
Chock full of farmers.
Farmers markets everywhere.
Yeah.
Do we have two more things
we
on
do,
the list?
We do. And just to bang them out real quick, restore civil liberties and free Julian Assange.
This is the Rage Against War list here. Restore civil liberties and free Julian Assange. Those are two great ones. And, you know, one of the reasons why maybe going down to Washington, D.C. isn't as scary for our previous caller as moving to New Hampshire as far as the feds is because at some level we all know that another protest in Washington, D.C. isn't going to change Washington, D.C.
No, that's true.
All of these proposals are great, but Ron Paul isn't a representative anymore, and there's not anyone that's even close.
And it's more than that. It's more than trying to change Washington, D.C. Number one, it's showing ourselves that there are this many people that really do care about this, that have the right ideas, connecting with each other so that even if we're not local, we're connected in this way, across state lines, across party lines.
But the reality is, if you want to be effective, you've got to have a concentration. And if you can see the value in that, then you need to check out the Free State Project. If you're a like-minded, liberty-oriented person. If you're a conservative, get on down to Florida or Texas. And if you're a liberal, get on out to California or the West Coast. We'll see you tomorrow.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.